Crab Feast. You know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you can trust that. Every Tuesday, you already knew though. Ryan Sickler, soccer star, JUCO. Above ground, cool goes better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low this week, last week. Here we go again, fuck the Crab Feast.
It's the job.
Welcome back to the Crab Feast, y'all.
Another Tuesday.
A crab feast for that ass.
There we go. That's how you touch pitches right there, Jay Larson.
Two levels, baby.
Two levels, play.
Two levels.
Good to be here, Jay Larson.
Good to be here, Sickle Cell. Great to be here with you, Feaster Nation, JayLarsonComedy.com, Jay Larson Comedy on all social media. Great to be here with you. Nothing really going on. I'm just in town doing spots in and around town. So if you are in Los Angeles, I usually put it out there on Twitter and Instagram about where I'm going to be. So please come on out and check out a show. Ryan?
Ryan Sickler on all social media, RyanSickler.com. I'm going to keep telling you for two more weeks to take that Crab Feast survey. Thank you to all you who have. Upper right-hand corner of thecrabfeast.com. Your merch is there. Follow us on Spotify. Laughable is a favorite app of ours. We really love Laughable as well. And make sure you follow the Crab Feast on Facebook and Twitter.
Excited to have back again with us, brooklinen.com. If you're sleeping in a bed, which we hope that you are, you probably have sheets, and look no further than brooklinen.com to get some nice sheets. As you know, Ryan and I have always looked for sheets, whether that be at a gas station or other places, and I always think it's confusing, like Egyptian cotton, are you doing what kind of thread count? And I saw brooklinen.com before we ever had them as an advertiser, and I was like, oh man, I liked that they had cool sheets that were simple, not something tacky, and I'm like, I'm going to take a chance on them, and I'm so glad I did because I love them to death. And since we've had them, we've gotten another set of sheets, and they're fantastic. Hands down, the best, most comfortable sheets I've ever had, and there's no markup. You know, they cut out the middleman, founded by a husband and wife team, and their philosophy, most beautiful, comfortable, home essentials, no crazy prices, no unnecessary markups. Most bedding companies are marked up as much as 300%. That's insane. Brooklinen is the fastest growing bedding brand in the world, over 20,000 five-star reviews. I mean, they're getting in Crab Feast territory with them five-star reviews, player. And the cool thing is, like, they have versatile colors, so you can do, like, a navy, you know, bottom sheet and then do a white sheet with navy polka dots on your, you know, up top. You know, I don't know the exact sheet names, but you get what I'm saying. It's luxury bedding underpriced. You have to try these sheets today. I mean, you spend a third of your life in your sheets. Might as well have something that you feel comfortable in. And I always feel like at a hotel, you always feel great. Why not feel like you're at a hotel at home? Here's the deal that we're offering. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use our promo code Feast at brooklinen.com. It's an exclusive offer just for our listeners. Brooklinen is so confident that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all of their sheets and comforters. Lifetime guarantee. Why would you? It's insane. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use promo code Feast at brooklinen.com. brooklinen.com. Code Feast. Brooklinen, these are the best sheets you're ever going to own. And this is one of the best episodes of our year for you guys to check out. We're excited to have her on. Extremely funny woman. I'm sure you've heard her or seen her somewhere in your comic past. Ladies and gentlemen, first time on the Crab Feast, Andrea Savage!
Andrea Savage!
Welcome to the Crab Feast.
Oh, my God. Thank you. Thrilled to be here.
Thank you for being here. I was very excited. Jay told me we were having you, and I was like, you don't even fucking know how much I love her.
Oh, my God.
Whatever.
I was like, really? Not really a fan.
But I'm allowed to fanboy once
please.
In a while. I rarely do, but this is a special occasion. Thank you so much for being here. Before we get into anything, would you please plug, promote, anything you'd like?
Well, I'm just finishing writing and starting production on season 2 of a show called I'm Sorry on True TV, and that will not be out until the fall, but you can catch it on demand and also on the True TV app, and you can buy it on iTunes and Amazon and all that good stuff. I think they're going to start rerunning the show in anticipation of the second season, I think 10 p.m. on Mondays. And yeah, I think...
How did that all work out? Like, how do you... Because... I mean, are you just like a psycho,
yes,
confrontational, oh, love challenging people to like, because the show is based loosely upon who you are in real life, kind of, right?
Much more than loosely.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, have you always been like that?
Been like what?
I feel like you're, I mean, I don't want to categorize you as like a female Larry David, but you're kind of like a female Larry David, don't you think?
I don't think so. I think that if you see the first episode, that may... be that it sort of has a Curb theme, but I think he, I think in that they're both shows that are like single vision, you know, single point of view shows about people getting through life, but he comes at stuff much more aggressively, and sort of really feels the need to sort of handle or be like, I don't know why you said that. I'm not very confrontational.
Okay.
Yeah.
What would you call yourself?
I would say that I have a very optimistic point of view, and I sort of go through life like, I feel like if we're all just adults about this and we just address it, we can say whatever we want, yeah, and let's just all talk about it. And that rarely works out in my favor.
Oh, yeah.
But I continually go through life sort of naively being like, listen, if we, you know, like in the pilot of the show, I found out that my daughter's friend's mom was an ex-anal porn star and this very famous woman and very prolific and very prolific. I Googled her and there she had a very long list of credits.
Is how much of this has truth to it?
This is all true.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That's another thing. Like most of the shows are based on true,
yes,
things that have happened to you.
They're all based on true stories.
So that's what I'm saying. If you,
yes,
watch the show, if you guys aren't there, if you're not,
yeah,
watching it.
Yeah.
First of all, it's I'm Sorry.
It's called I'm Sorry. And
go watch it because you're going to look at her in a whole different light. Especially knowing that you're like exploring this in real life.
Yes. I mean, obviously, it's a slightly pushed out version. But I would say...
pushed out. We're still talking about the anal thing.
We're still talking about the anal thing. But basically in that, like I found out this about her because she was now a real estate agent. And it was random how I found out. It was not related to the school.
You were watching porn.
I was not watching. She's anal porn would not have been what I was watching. That's not my thing. And so...
just unless it's alphabetical. That's all.
What?
If you do your drop down menu and it's alphabetical, anal would be pretty close to the top.
It would be close to the top, but
right,
I'd
but not
skip
necessarily
over that.
What you would jump to.
Yeah.
Sure, you might go down into the D's, maybe.
I'd go D's.
Sure.
Deep in the D's.
Yeah, deep in the D's.
And so basically, I found out this about her, but like I didn't care that she had done it. She'd changed her name and all this stuff, but I became obsessed with her butthole. And just the state of it.
That's a ridiculous thing.
But I really did. I just, and it was just sort of like, what condition is it in? Because she had worked,
yeah,
for many, many years,
yeah,
in this very niche market.
I learned about that. Like they can fall out.
And my stepmom's butthole had fallen out, not from porn, but from life.
Are you close with your stepmom?
She's no longer my stepmom, but we're not particularly close anymore.
You told everyone that her butthole fell out?
Well, I didn't say her name. No one knows who she is.
That's a good point. Former stepmom.
My former stepmom's butthole fell out. And hers was, because I guess this is something that happens to women who've had a couple children. It can happen to women like in their 50s or whatever, is your butthole or vagina can fall out. And they just zip, zip, zip it, pull it back up like a curtain and stitchy stitch.
Oh,
and then you're back in biz. So I just became sort of obsessed with this woman's butthole. And I didn't bring it up to her.
Can I ask you some questions real quick?
Yeah.
How long ago was this? A couple years?
A couple years.
So how old is she at this point, roughly? 40s? Older?
I would say, no. She was probably like, it was hard to tell.
30s?
Mid-late 30s?
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And
she didn't look like a porn star. That's the thing about
living out here. You could meet someone like this that's so sweet and be like, oh my God, you used to do gangbangs for 30 years.
I don't know. I feel like...
it's a weird place to live.
You can, but I also feel like there are other people I've met where you're like, well, obviously this person. You know, there's the nails and the tan and the,
sure,
hair and the boobs. She didn't have fake boobs. She didn't have nails. Brunette. Like, she was somewhat unassuming.
She looked like a mom. She's a suburban mom.
Yeah, she kind of looked like a mom.
Which is why you're probably obsessed with her asshole, because that was the only one that could, like, really... explain what she was.
And she had a handicap placard on her Porsche.
Oh, see, now here we go.
And that's where the questions really started. Yeah. And I was like, she seemed able in every other way. Yeah. So I was just like, what does this woman, first of all, why is this woman driving a Porsche? Like, this is a ma, you know what I mean? And then also, clearly, the only imaginable handicap could have been that her butthole fell out. I still don't know what it was. But anyway, I didn't tell anyone. I knew this for like a year and a half. I told nobody. And then somebody outed her anonymously in the class.
Outed her.
Anonymously?
What is it? Is it prolapse?
Yeah, in a fake email. A prolapsed rectum.
Okay, that is. A prolapsed rectum. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so somebody, again, I don't know if she had that or not. That was just my concern.
Prolapsed. I'm not getting in the pool. I'm not jumping in the pool. I wear my fanny pack backwards for a reason.
So
someone outed her with, like, made a fake email address and outed her to the entire class.
Oh.
And I thought that was bullshit. And so the whatever. So that's so that's an example of the stories. But I don't purposely, like, go seeking out things. I felt like just in that it was just like a natural thing. You'd be curious about the woman's butthole, right? You'd be lying if you weren't. You found this out and were like, no, I've never thought about it. That's a
but
lie.
But have you had conversations with her, talked to her? You've never brought it up?
No, never brought it up.
And she doesn't? Well, does she know she was outed?
Yes, she does. Okay. But by the way, this was when my daughter was in preschool, so this was quite a few years ago. And then we all left the school a couple months later. I had known for a couple of years, but I was the only one who knew. But then a dad recognized her, I guess.
Leave it up to the dads.
He got outed there more than she did.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah. And so that's sort of like what the show is. So it's
But I love that you're able to, like, take, you know, because it's like a stand up. So much of, like, what we do in our life,
yeah,
we put it on stage. You have to continue living your life in order to, you know.
Yeah.
You know, if you get a season three, you're going to have to.
I'm fucked.
You're going to have to hustle. You know what I mean?
Writing season two almost killed me. Because after season one, I was like, okay, well, I've used like 40 of my own stories. Because not every great story you have can be an episode of television. And each one, it is about something, even though, like, you know, it's one of them, Jason Mantzoukas plays my writing partner, close friend on the show. And one of them was setting up him with our, it's going to sound like our entire show is about buttholes, but it's really not. Setting up him, he wants to, like, settle down, and it's about helping a friend who hasn't really settled down yet. And, you know, they're getting to that point where you're like starting to get worried about them, and you're like, yeah, you're turning into a weirdo. We gotta lock this up.
You might miss the window.
You might miss the window. Just all of that, like aging friends, aging parents. But in this one, we set him up with our daughter's preschool teacher, who seems like this really sweet woman, and blah, 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 blah. And she is great, and they really get along. She loves ice cubes in her butt, and we now found this out. And then Tom Everett Scott, who plays my husband on the show, Jay's friend.
Former guest of the Crappies.
Former guest. I thought you were going to say former friend. I was going to be like, woo, no, what happened?
We had a fight.
He's such a jerk.
He's an asshole.
Oh, he's the worst person
I've ever met. You know what? Let's bring him in. Tommy Everett Scott! Get in here, baby!
Get out of here, Tom.
He's not here.
Yeah.
We could have, actually. That would have been a legit one.
It would have been legit.
Yeah.
I love Jason on the show. I wanted him to be in so many more episodes.
Yeah. Well, he's hard to get. We're seeing if he can come back for season two. But he was in five of them. He was in a lot of them.
Yeah.
And then also, like, my dad.
That character is a trip. How much is that based off of your dad?
Almost completely. Exactly. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Martin Mull plays my dad. And, and you know, my dad has just really, in the past 5 years of his life, just really started enjoying himself. And he's just started clubbing. And
That photo episode is
real? The sensual photography wall?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's in my dad's house.
I mean, do you want to say what that is?
So my...
In real life. How did it happen in real life?
Literally exactly how it happens on the show. So my dad emails me. Well,
how old is your dad?
Me. My dad is 75 now. So this probably happened like 5 years ago, this part of it. So I got an email and it was like, hey, nice to see you at Thanksgiving. So you know how I'm turning the front of my house into a club? And I was not aware of that particular
that
plan.
That didn't come up at Thanksgiving.
That did not come up Thanksgiving. Well, I'm looking to put some sensual photography up on the wall to for decoration. Do you have any boudoir photos you'd feel comfortable sending to me?
Can you even imagine this?
And my dad is not creepy. Right. That's what's so interesting about this is it's just a thing. And that's why I thought Martin Mull was so amazing.
Well, for the first 75 years, he wasn't creepy. Yeah.
Well, but he didn't mean it. It wasn't like I was sitting there going, my dad's trying to see like nude pictures of me. That wasn't the thing. It's just he's been in this thing where he just wants to party. So my dad is just like partying. And
is
like,
he taking drugs?
Yeah. And like clubbing and like goes out dancing and clubs
him,
and this and that. And, you know, and just is sort of like, sexual and like I don't know.
When did your parents split?
When I was 2.
Oh, same with me. But
then he was with my stepmom for almost 30 years.
And
or
then
something.
He finally
and
broke loose.
Then he, yeah, after a second divorce, and then he's had a series of girls. He has a long term relationship now, and they're very happy. But they
does he date
party
women
together.
Younger than him?
Well, he doesn't date any other women other than the woman he's with right now.
How old is she?
She's how old is she? I want to say like 60. Like not. Crazy,
and she
very attractive woman.
Part
they party together, and they may or may not have an open relationship. I try not to stay out of the details.
Yes. I'm going
to
say yes.
They have agreements and arrangements, and my dad is a very conservative guy. But, like it's
I
really
mean, he was,
but he still. It's a weird thing.
Why
so anyway,
did he want nude? Like
he didn't want nude.
Photos.
He wanted boudoir. He said
everyone
he,
or just you?
No. Everyone in the family.
The whole family, dude.
Well, he wanted to celebrate the beauty of the women in his family, is what he said. I ignored the email. Then I got a phone call saying, "Hey, did you see my email?" And I said, "Yes, I did see your email." And he's like, "And?" I was like, "No." And he's like, "You know, if it's about the cost, I'm happy to do the framing." And I was
the
like,
"Framing." Framing is pricey. Oh,
framing is pricey.
Framing is very expensive.
I appreciated the offer.
Custom over there.
So anyway, I am not up on the wall. Actually, I am up on the wall, but it is a picture that he took of my aunt, my cousin, and I at like a friend, like at someone's birthday, and we're just all dressed up normally and like big smiles. And then a lot of his girlfriend's family, who are all very lovely, attractive women, are in more sensual.
Shut up. God, they all agree
so
to
their
it?
Family gave
all,
a good thumbs
like,
up.
Oh, hell yeah.
So her family's up on the wall, and my poor dad, unfortunately, none of us agreed.
Not one of you, huh?
Not
how
one,
many of you are there?
I have 4 brothers. I've so I'm the only daughter, and there's a couple cousins and an aunt. That's about
funny.
It.
Imagine
yeah.
Getting that email would be I would imagine people would start calling each other like, your dad just emailed me.
Listen, well, I warned the other women in my family it was coming, so they didn't because they didn't know.
But. Listen, I got a friend over at Frame Express, it's not gonna be a big deal.
Express.
I can handle it if I do 6, I get them for 5.
Yeah, he lives in Orange County, and he also was like, listen, there's like, you know, if you need to do a shoot.
He was gonna pay for that.
It's a studio
like a
now.
Glamour,
too. Yeah.
One of those, and I was just like, there's a part of me that was tempted to do a very specific shoot.
You
for
really
it.
Should. That's
well,
a great episode
ago.
To go shoot at his house.
So anyway, I am not sensually
displayed in your father's club.
My father's. By the way, this club was so not a club. He like made this huge deal about it,
club.
And then I finally went, and it was like, oh, okay, so it's some like. Comfier velvet chairs
okay.
And like a little wine bar.
A fountain over there.
Yeah.
Do you have a disco ball or anything?
No. He did say he almost put a pole in there, and I was like, wow.
Oh my
this
God.
This is great.
You know, what was it? Little Miss Sunshine. It's mm-hmm. Alan Arkin that does heroin on the way out.
Yeah.
Like, fuck it, I'm there.
Fuck it.
I mean, I
by
think
the way,
about
my dad
it. Believe
is
me,
happier
I think about
than
it.
He's ever been. And by the way, like, in a great relationship and living his life. And so, but part of the show is just like, dealing with my dad, you know, just going through all of this with him and friends and
I think I saw him on Taxi Cab Confessions.
My dad?
Like, yeah, just unloading.
But you're still pretty close, obviously.
Yeah.
That's great. Is your mom still with us?
Yes, she is. My mom is heavily featured on the show.
Are you?
Kathy Baker plays my mother.
Close with your mom, too?
Very close. I'm very, very close with my mom.
And does she live out here as well?
She does. She lives 15 minutes from me. She's very involved
in my
awesome. Life, involved with my daughter's life. I see her a lot. Yeah, she's great. And she's hilarious. She.
What does she think about what your dad's going through? She just does whatever. They've been so
they've known each other.
So
no, they're like very close friends.
Oh, they are.
Yeah. And so my mom and her husband.
She gave a photo for the wall.
By the way, my mom was like, well, I mean, I guess I'm not going to. Haven't been asked for the wall. So my mom's real name is Sharon. Her character's name is Sharon. And she's really married to a man named Leon in real life and on the show. And
and Leon's okay with you guys using his real name and all that stuff?
Yep. And my mom, I found out. My mom, I found out like 2 years ago, we were having a conversation. She's like, well, I have to get home to feed Leon. And I was like, what do you mean feed Leon? Right. And she's like, I make Leon dinner every night. And I was like, well, why do you say feed him? And she's like, well, I give it to him in bed. So I found out that my mother every night feeds
him.
Her husband. Doesn't actually like put food in his mouth. He comes home, shimmies out of his clothes. I've had her walk me through exactly what the process is. He calls from the car and says, I'm about 20 minutes
in advance. This so guy, it's nice and
Leon,
warm.
By the way, Leon has got the life. So
seriously.
So then he gets home, gets in a t-shirt and his tidy whities, not thrilled that I know about this, slips under the sheets. My mom comes in, serves him like a 3-course meal, and like not like a sandwich or something, but like
a piping
a roast
meal.
Chicken with yeah. Like
sides, mash,
side dishes, and rice, and you know, like a ratatouille and a couscous or something. And then he just stays in bed the rest of the night and eats in bed
like a king,
like a king. And not only that, but in bed, like on
the same bed, yeah.
But also, like, there's like, is there food?
On the pillowcase
yeah,
and
like
shit. Yeah.
How? And she's like, oh, he's very neat. And I'm like, oh God. So for Christmas last year, I got them 2 towels. And I was like, well, what do you eat on? She's like, we have white towels. I was like, what? Where are the towels? She's like, they're at the foot of the bed. We pulled them up. I was like, this is the craziest. I was like, this is the craziest fucking thing I've ever heard.
I think old men got it figured out. Your dad,
the way, these two do.
I'm going to have a strip club.
These two fucking do.
Yeah.
And then Leon's like, listen, girl,
yeah.
I'm 5 minutes out.
Yeah.
Those muffins better be warm.
Yeah, it's
so
crazy.
Wait, does she also sit next to him and have dinner as well?
Yeah.
Or is it just
she
it and goes and does her
no,
thing?
No, she eats in bed, I guess, next to him and then cleans up. I'm like, this is crazy. But my mom is she's this really cute, very attractive lady. And really puts herself together, but she has a kind of a dirty side of her, which you would never know.
Sounds like your whole family.
Which is funny. Yeah, I know. Well, but my mom has like a dirty, like funny sense of humor.
I wonder if
like
your dad
and
mom.
Like she listens to Howard Stern,
oh, great.
But
okay.
Like she's funny. And in the show, like one day she called me, she's like, what's teabagging?
That's great.
And I was like, what? And she's like, I was listening to Howard Stern. I think I know what it is, but I just want to be sure. So I explained it to her. And then she was like, yep, that's what I thought. Anyway. And then she just goes along with her
I've had that conversation with my mom as well.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Yep. I was going to say.
I don't think
Sue
many people
Sue Lars
would ever ask about teabagging.
My mom does. And at Christmas, she buys really dirty gifts for people and then gives them to you from fake people, like under the tree. And then she'll also give.
Maybe she put that anonymous email out there.
She put the what?
That anonymous email about the anal sex star.
No. Because that person was very upset.
Oh, all right.
And she also gives fake gifts, like, to my sister-in-law from me, but, like, ugly gifts, but, like, not ugly enough that you'd know it was a joke, but just enough.
Where you might call.
Where you might be like, or you just are like, oh, my God, thank you, mm-hmm. These earrings. And then my mom's, like, in the corner, like.
That's good. I'm gonna say, yeah. They do have, they like to, like to enjoy life.
Yeah. So they're funny. Anyway, so I don't know why I'm talking about my mom.
It's a shame it didn't work out between those two, you know?
They, by the way, still hang out and they still get a kick out of each other.
Does your mom go clubbing with them?
No. No.
Does Leon also hang out with your dad?
Yeah.
Really?
So my mom and Leon and my dad and his girlfriend, the four of them go to dinner and blah, blah, blah. Like, we all went on vacation together over Christmas.
Really?
Yeah. It's crazy.
That was always my dream, kind of.
To get just have an extended family like
no,
that.
No, to be like if I ever split with like my girl that she'd be
your wife?
Yeah, but this was like back like girlfriend,
see,
like that
gotcha.
They would all we'd all still get like I'm like, that should be the way it is. You know what I mean? That's,
if that was the way it is, we'd all be divorced.
And lawyers would have nothing
right.
to fucking do.
Good point.
We'd all be like, listen. Yeah, I'm ready to fuck someone else now, but I can still hang out
like,
with
but
you
but
and
be
we'll
cool.
still
better
go on
have
vacation.
My dinner ready when I
yeah. yeah. Then we'd all be divorced.
See how he worked this angle.
Because that's the only thing keeping us all together. yeah. is going, ugh, well, I don't want to lose this person or not see my kids.
That's, I'm sure your husband really enjoys that.
He knows that I have a very strong divorce fantasy, which is also in the show.
It
last
is
season.
In the show.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'd crush it. I think I'd be an amazing divorcee.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm made for it.
I don't know if I'd be, but I mean, I did have, my wife got melanoma one time and I was like, okay, this might be the
this might be
the way out. And I was like driving by one bedrooms. I'm like, oh, I'd be living right there on Laurel Canyon. There's my coffee shop. I had it all dialed in.
Well, because if they pass away, that's the perfect setup. Because
you're
still a good guy at the end of it. Yeah.
You didn't do it.
And you don't have to split custody.
No.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Yeah. I don't want to not see my daughter every day.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Right?
But yeah.
I mean, so I'll put up with almost anything. I'm just kidding. No, I'm happily married. My poor husband. Oh. No, I am.
How long have you been married?
11 years.
How'd you meet?
We actually knew each other in high school. We both grew up here in LA, and we were friends in high school and then lost touch for a million years.
Never dated in high school ever?
Mm-mm. And then re-met 14 years ago now. Yeah.
Amazing. And you hadn't Facebook probably wasn't around.
Facebook was not around. And yeah, no.
What was it? Where did you guys see each other again?
He is also in the entertainment business. He's a talent agent, and he had read an article about a TV show I was doing, and it was a nice review, and he was like, oh my God, I didn't know she was still blah, blah, blah. And then we became friends. You know, we were like, we should get together, and then we didn't. I'd broken up with someone, and I was going through what I like to call one of my wild phases, so I wasn't actually looking.
You mean your dad phases?
One of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in between long-term relationships.
What does a wild phase mean?
You know, just dating a lot, not really.
Yeah. Like going to Spain?
Oh, God. I lived in Spain.
Did you?
Yeah, for 8 months.
Wow. Yeah. Where?
In Sevilla.
And when?
In college.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. But no, I mean, nothing, you know, just, you know, having some fun. And then he was having this party and invited me, and I knew I had like a date later that night, but I was like, oh, I'll head over there and just get my eyes on it. And
get my eyes on it.
And
the
see,
future.
Yeah. Well, I'll just see. See if
Could
I haven't
I
seen him
here?
Since high school. We'll see. And then actually when we first did that, I was like, meh, not for me. And and then we sort of hung out, and this guy that I was sort of dating got the flu, and it was 4th of July, and my now husband
summer
invited
flu, huh?
Yeah, summer flu.
Worst
I know
time.
He was sick.
Summer flu makes me not feel fine.
My husband likes Yacht Rock. That just gave me a stomach ache. So he invited me to this party that I wasn't gonna be able to go to, but then I could go. And then we were at this party, and I was talking to someone, and then I saw my husband across the party, and he was in this red bathing suit, and he was about to jump in the pool, and I guess I'm very shallow. I don't know. I was like, oh.
The pool wasn't, though, and he ended up drowning. Yeah. She had to dive in.
I had to dive in and
save
him.
He's got a handicap plaque.
Yeah, because his butthole fell out.
Filled up. That's how he...
That's how he
was looking good in those red
trunks. So he looked good. Yeah, and suddenly it was just one of those, like, what am I doing? He's a great person. Like, what? It just sort of like my... It was like my eyes opened up, and then... nothing happened then because I was like, I got to clean house a little bit before we go down that road. And then next time we hung out, it was just kind of done. And then that was it. We kind of both knew, like, first day.
That's great.
Yeah.
First
Here
day.
You are ever since.
15 years later.
First day, 15 years later, after we'd hung out a couple times. But then I decided, okay, now's the time.
No, but
now it's actually a date.
I love those things. Our OBGYN who delivered our babies, he met his wife in kindergarten.
Wow.
Kindergarten in Israel, and then they stuck it out. She was like,
yo,
that's my girl right there, baby. 6 years old. Like,
I don't even know the
girl.
Alphabet yet, but I know you're mine.
Who's
girl.
Your OBGYN?
What, do you know who he is?
I don't know.
What the heck is his last
name? Forget it.
He's got an accent, older guy.
Oh, no.
I pranked him the entire time of our
cool.
of our delivery of the first
everyone
into the
wants,
second.
Everyone wants to prank their doctor.
I crushed it with him.
What did you prank him with?
Well, he had this, when we went in to meet him, he had a trophy on his desk, like an Oscar, like a fake Oscar that said world's best grandfather.
Okay.
And when we walked in, we sat down and he goes, look at this. And we're like, what? And he's like pointing at the trophy and I'm like, oh yeah. And he goes, it must be true. I have the trophy. And I'm like, okay. Like, he was super proud of being a grandfather. So I went out and had another Oscar trophy made that said World's Best Grandfather Runner-Up. And then one day, well, she,
that's cute.
We were in like the like exam room or whatever. Yeah. I excused myself to go to the bathroom, went in there, hid his trophy like behind like a picture, put my trophy in.
Oh, amazing.
Two times later, we come to visit. We're in his office. My trophy's gone. His is back and mine's like up on a shelf, but he hasn't said anything. And I put a note on the bottom like, hey, runner up ain't bad. Love the Larsons. And he never said anything. So we went through, had the baby, yada, yada. We go back for the second baby. We sit down. He goes, look at this. And we're like, I look at my wife like, oh, he's going to finally bring up the trophy, right? And we look over and next to the trophy is a coffee mug that says World's Best Grandfather that his grandkids had made for him. Okay, so it's like handmade.
So he's not like upping your bit.
I don't know what he's doing. I go, yeah, we know. We saw the trophy. He goes, no, the coffee mug. And he's showing us the coffee mug. I'm like, my sister happens to do pottery. I went in, took a full video, got dimensions, sent it to my sister, had the exact mug made with World's Best Grandfather runner-up made. Okay?
Okay.
Switched it out. He never said anything.
How are you alone in this? First of all, how much time did you spend with your OBGYN? I'm like, I was never like alone in offices with time to be
We'd
like.
We go to his office. I mean, he
playing hijinks.
He came into our office one day at three.
Your
in the
office?
No, into the.
You have an office.
I have an office over there.
Okay.
I need space. You know, I need to get a space. We went in one day and we're sitting there like in the exam room waiting for him, and he comes in at 3 p.m. and he just comes in and goes. And I go, nope, turn around, walk back out, come back in. You come in here with the same energy you come in at 10 a.m., not this 3 in the afternoon, I'm exhausted. And my wife goes, Jay. And he goes, no, he is right. So anyway, I get the coffee mug made, okay. New one, switch it out, hide it. He never says anything. We're going in for our last exam before the baby, second baby. And he goes, Jay, are you thirsty? Can I get you anything? And I go, no, I'm okay. He goes, are you sure? And I'm like, yeah. Never takes us in the office, never mentions anything. We go in the exam room and we're talking, you know, going over like, okay, the baby, it's going to be like next week, whatever. And then my wife goes, you know, I'd love to like, since it's a planned C-section, I want to talk to you about maybe have my tubes tied while you're in there. And he goes, no. Who's to say how long this is going to last with him? Let's say you meet someone else. He's going through this. Then he starts telling us about one of his patients who definitely should have their tubes tied because she was a slut and told us how Swedish women were more.
He said that.
Those
more are his
apt
words.
To fool around. He's telling us like what she's had this, she's had that. He's like laying back, like he got way comfortable with us. So presently in my office right now, I have a T-shirt made that says World Best Grandfather Runner Up, and I know his son because he's a comedian. And I asked his son, I don't know him, but like he's in the world. And I hit him up and I said, hey, man, would you be comfortable taking this shirt and then hiding it in your dad's like T-shirt drawer? Because I think it would be hilarious if he went to like open up his T-shirt drawer to go to the gym and then would be like, how did he get here?
Like, but you don't even know if he's aware of any level of this.
I think he thinks he's funny. And I think that he thinks him ignoring me right. And everything is his level of like,
by the way,
showmanship.
It is.
Yeah, it's genius.
Or
so, it's a little
all
dance.
Of this is in your head.
Nope. It's
there's two things. Either he's genius mm-hmm. and being hilarious, or all of this is you've just made a whole thing in your head. And there's like a house. There's like some sort of house cleaner or like office cleaner who just keeps switching it out. And
see,
just has no, and he has not a clue that that's not the mug.
He knows I'm a comedian. I know his son's a comedian. We had talked about his son. And I was going to give the T-shirt to Tommy Scott because they used to go to the same gym. And I was like, I know when he goes. I know what
you
time
know
he goes.
You know what gym he goes?
Yeah. Because he used to tell us. He used to tell us.
Listen, you have had someone deliver a child from your body.
Yeah.
Do you know any more as much as he knows about the guy that has
this? How I am with everybody.
No.
I talk, I ask questions.
I love Ruth. Ruth is fabulous. But I don't know. By the way, I feel like I was only in Ruth's office for like bad news. I feel like it was never like I was sitting in her office like, oh, here's like, you know.
Oh, this is how I roll. I'll talk. I jab.
You have nowhere else to be.
What do you
I'm
mean?
Like, I got to get in and out. Like, what? I don't want to be spending 45 extra minutes chit-chatting.
It doesn't take long to inquire about someone and make someone's day a little brighter.
Oh, is that what you think's happening?
Goddamn right it is, Savage.
I'll tell you right now, I've spent, what, 40 minutes so far? I don't, my day feels just about the same
how often,
level of brightness. I will. Yeah, go ahead.
How often do you send that Savage emoji on Instagram? Do you use it all the time?
No. Actually, not aware of it.
Oh.
What is the savage emoji?
You know, like on Instagram stories, you can put little things as one that just says savage in orange. Like that should be your like go-to.
Should it?
I don't know.
Should that be my go-to?
Should that really be
I will tell you, talking about OBGYN stories, is one time I had to go in for this procedure, whatever, and my doctor was not there because she was delivering a baby. So I had to go see one of the other doctors, and my husband was with me. And we're in there, you know, waiting to get him in. And this doctor comes in, and my husband and the doctor suddenly are hugging. And they went to camp together. And the doctor was my husband's camp counselor.
Come on.
And they're sitting there chit-chatting as if they bumped into each other in a bar as the doctor is fist deep in my vagina.
Come on.
Shut up.
And chit-chatting and just like, and then my husband's like,
remember we built that fort?
Yeah. My husband's like, oh, his sister was my first kiss. So there, how's your sister? Like, insanity.
Arm inside
as like, literally, I'm like being probed and examined. And it was like this crazy, like ridiculous situation. I was like, seriously? This is what's happening right now?
Oh my God.
And then I had to go back to like have a follow-up, like a checkup or something right after, and had to go see him again. And it was the most awkward
because
my husband was not there. So suddenly it was just a guy he went to camp with with his fingers inside me alone in a room.
I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah. So there you go. We all have we all have cool gynecology stories.
I don't have any that cool. It was always waiting room, exam room, go make an appointment to see you next time.
Yeah. So there you go.
That was all. Well, we talked a little bit off mic about some things, and especially your first job we thought was pretty interesting. Well, you went to, you're pretty smart, evidently.
Thank you.
I don't know why I said evidently, you know what I mean? Like, No, I mean, you went to a really, is that Ivy League, Cornell?
Yeah, that's barely, but
what was your safety school?
Berkeley.
Like, oh, okay. Yeah. That's legit. I remember my sister's ex-husband, he went to Harvard, and when I met him the first time was at my sister's college graduation at Smith, and I was like, so you go to Harvard, huh? And he's like, yeah. I go, what was your safety school? And he's like, Dartmouth and Yale. And I was like, all right, dude.
What is I don't even know what a safety school
is. It's like, if you have like a number one that you want to go to
it's your backup school, like the one you know you're going to get into.
So she knew she was getting into Berkeley.
So my number one and my backup happened to be community college.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
Kill two birds, you know what I'm saying?
Well, that's not usually the birds you want to kill with the one stone.
No, those are the ones.
Get those birds out of the way.
Okay.
All those credits transferred to my next 4-year university.
Of life?
No, of college.
Oh.
You shit on me. You don't remember shitting on my mass comm degree?
That's right.
I mean, you just thought it was communications.
I was like, it's not like a communications degree.
I wanted to dial you back and let you know it's not. It's like a mass comm.
Now, what is the difference between mass comm and just comm?
Well, mass is all, you know, all encompassing.
It's all encompassing?
Encompassing.
Encompassing. It's a compass as well.
It's for direction. Not.
It is. A moral compass.
Yeah. What is happening?
It's a moral compass.
What did you learn in your mass comm that you've used that's traveled on over?
Quite a bit, actually.
Okay. More than what I've used for my major.
Television, post-production, producing. I also write and produce. I do. Yeah,
so
quite a bit.
But I mean, like in your major, they had like post-production, you like learned like editing and you actually had all that?
No, not the then. Facilities? You want to know what I learned? I'm 45 years
what do you
old.
Mean, not then. I just asked, what did you learn then?
I'm going to tell you.
All right.
They did not have editing and things like that. Actually, the editing we did for the radio lab was reel to reel, where we had to take a razor blade and fucking splice the tape together, because that teacher was older and thought we should learn how to do that, even though that had already been dead.
Wasn't part of the curriculum.
Okay.
Wow.
I learned in my computer classes, I learned Lotus.
Uh-huh.
DOS, you know, all these things that no one uses or don't even exist
but
anymore.
But for a while, were they
DOS
useful?
DOS was huge, man.
But no,
fucking
they
DOS.
Weren't. It all progressed so quickly after that none of that was useful.
Do you think, my point is
but
do you
TV,
think it was a useful,
movies, script
useful
writing.
Watch your mouth, Andrea.
Do you think it was a useful
for
major?
For me, it was, yes. I do think some people take it because it's just an easy thing and they don't know what they're doing. But I didn't start with that. I actually... Just so you know, I know you like to take dumps.
on my mass comm.
First of all,
prolapse.
If someone just cut off right there, like, really?
First of all, we're gonna segment that out. I know you like to take dumps.
I don't like to take. Because when I said my major was I was pre-law, and then Jay acted like that was the most shocking thing he's ever heard. Then that's when I was like, "What did you expect? Like a communications?" And then,
oh, I didn't expect Cornell. You know what I mean? So it, I think it was just
all of
like,
it is insulting. All of your expectations being just dirt low.
Well, I have a Bachelor of Science in Mass Communications because when I first started, I really wanted to do physical therapy. So I took quite a bit of
if you got anatomy, an hamstring you need worked out. I
mean, human anatomy and physiology. I've taken quite a bit of
those
things.
You want to be a physical therapist?
Yeah,
Why have I never heard that?
Yeah, I've talked about it. Human anatomy and physiology and a lot of the science classes. And then I switched. I think actually it was psychology first, and I was like, nah, fuck that. Physical therapy. Then I was like, nah, fuck that. I don't know what I want to do. Mass comm. TV, movies, film,
well,
that sort of thing.
As someone who was a pre-law major, you're using your major more than I'm using mine.
I am, actually, yes.
So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
I am.
So let's talk
about... Hold on real quick. Do you think right now you could pass a bar?
No, I never studied for the bar.
You never even studied?
No, studying for the bar is... I didn't go to law school.
But you stopped before that?
Yeah, I never went to law.
You failed the bar and you were like, no, I'm not going
to
do
this. You have to go to law school to be able to take the bar.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. I thought you could take the bar once you graduate college in that degree.
I bet
you could
I
could
get a 60% on it.
What do you think you could get on it? Do you know, even know?
I don't know anything about law.
But also, I had an undergraduate degree. You have to take a full law school. You don't actually learn. I mean, I had law classes, but you don't actually. It's like going, you become a doctor without taking going to medical school?
Enough.
But it's the same thing. Like, okay. So you have to go to law school.
You can't just have a bachelor's degree and then go take the bar.
No. Yeah. So it's, But at the time, I took a lot of law classes. I was relatively well-versed. As much as you can be from
Do you like to argue or do you like to even take another side, even if you agree with the left, you'll go right just for the sake of it sometimes?
Well, just to see if you can convince someone of it. Yeah. I do like to argue.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's fun.
Me too. I love it.
Yeah. I think it's, I don't know. And my husband doesn't really like to argue because he thinks it's like, he's like, why do you have to be so mad? I'm like, I'm not mad. I'm just. Having a conversation. I like to have a passionate conversation.
I was pre-law. Do you ever bring that up to people?
No.
Just here.
I bring it up all the
time.
That
I'm pre-law?
No, if I had gone to Cornell, you'd hear about it on the
road. No, you really wouldn't.
All the merch and shit.
Is not cool.
I almost bought a Harvard shirt when I was home this time. I'm like, that's so nice.
How come your accent only really comes out with Harvard?
Well, try not to say that word without a Boston.
Harvard.
If you were from Boston.
Encompassing. Harvard.
Yeah.
See how you speak? That's how you
Harvard.
Talk.
I can say Harvard.
But you choose not to. You go Harvard.
Yeah.
Purposely. You lean into it. I see your body lean
in. That.
I see it.
Why are you so confrontational?
Because I
like
it.
To argue.
I like it.
Go back to the top of the show. Andrew, do you think you're confrontational on purpose? I'm not confrontational. Do you love arguing? I love it. I love arguing.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Do you like arguing with I like arguing with complete strangers just to see where it can go.
No.
Especially if I know someone's not telling the truth, I will push it.
No, I'm not a confrontational, with my husband or something like that, just talking about something, I like to go at it and get passionate about something that's not important enough to get passionate about.
Mm-hmm. If someone were to call you out in a store or something like that, you just walk away. You wouldn't defend yourself speak up.
Totally defend yourself.
I would. If someone called me out, in what way?
I don't know. Let's say you're. Let's say you're.
Like that,
I don't know. What if you're fighting over a parking spot? I don't know. Any situation.
Don't
are
fuck
you,
with me when it comes with parking. I will hunt you down. I will pull up beside your car and block you in so you cannot open your driver's side door. If I was waiting for that spot.
Yeah.
And then I'll sit there and get in your face about it and make you crawl awkwardly over to the other side of the car. I am not usually, but it's weird. Most things, I'm pretty laid back and things don't bother me. But if I, for some reason, do hit or pass that one thing, then forget about it. Then we're done. Then I'm not going to
let it go.
So
you got trigger points.
I have trigger points. Yeah. Definitely. They're rare. But when you see them, they're pretty fun.
Hold that thought right there. The Crab Feast is supported in part by Away, makers of first-class luggage at a coach price. Welcome to my new favorite luggage, everybody. You know, we get stuff. You know, when the sponsors hit us up, we get stuff. And they sent us a carry-on, man. Look, the interior features a patent-pending compression system helpful for overpackers. A lot of you are overpackers out there. Your Away carry-ons were able to charge all cell phones, tablets, and anything else that's powered by a USB cord. A single charge of the Away carry-on will charge your iPhone 5 times. I tested it out. It definitely works. It's TSA-approved combination lock built into the top of the bag, prevents theft. You have a removable, washable laundry bag that keeps dirty clothes separate from clean. And I'll tell you, that's meant for people like me. You know what I do with my dirty clothes when I go back? I turn them inside out. That way I don't have to do all my laundry when I come home if I didn't wear everything. What's up? Not anymore. Using that laundry bag now. There's a lifetime warranty. If anything breaks, they'll fix or replace it for you for life. And free shipping on any Away order within the lower 48 states. Guys, special offer, $20 off a suitcase. Visit awaytravel.com/crabfeast and use code crabfeast at checkout. That's awaytravel.com/crabfeast and code crabfeast for $20 off a suitcase.
Let's talk about, do you want to talk about that first job? Or was
it? Oh, I mean, basically, I worked, it's not very exciting.
No,
because I was 15 and I worked in a bank. I worked in mortgage loan banking.
But you said that you were like, you had to call people and tell them they were behind on their loans. Like grown adults with jobs and families, and this 15-year-old pipsqueak is calling them up.
First
and
being of all,
like,
I was not a pipsqueak. I was the exact same size I am now.
Uh-huh.
So how dare you, number one. Number two, I was quite mature for my age.
I mean, you had to have been.
I was. For some reason, they let me call. They were, I don't think they just
for
didn't want to
reason.
Do it.
Exactly. I was about to say,
nobody wants to be those person call.
Oh, that's a good point, too.
And so they were just like, you can do it. And I was like, great.
Hi.
Hey, guys.
Very upbeat. I can't even imagine how upbeat I was. And I would just be like ridiculously upbeat and be like, hey, I'm just calling to let you know that you're a little behind on your loan payments. And if it happens, you know, and if you have this amount of days and if it happens again, you're 4 times and then we're going to actually have to pull the blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. And did you even realize what that meant? You who you were talking to?
Not
you were
really. Saying,
did anyone ever snap
That's
on you?
That's what I wanted to know. Did anyone ever just lose
no
it?
One ever really lost it on me. People hung up, but no one ever like screamed at me or anything. I don't think they gave me like the like crazy cases where they were like, "Well, you're gonna get murdered." Like, yeah, but yeah, no. I told I was like 15, like
Can't
calling people and saying they were behind on their payments.
Well, you must have been like. Beyond, like, what was your GPA when you graduated high school? Like a 4.4 or something like that?
Yeah.
You're same as your
you
40
had
time?
Over a 4.0?
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Of course you did. Which is crazy now because my niece has a 4.3 and she didn't even get into some schools. Extra credit, you take
AP
courses.
Classes. I took a lot of AP classes.
Yeah.
I was a smart kid.
And, okay.
Yeah.
You said you lived in Spain. Did you like go backpack? Were you that?
I did study abroad. So I lived in Spain and I had to take comparative politics
in
of South
Sevilla?
America in Sevilla in Spanish. It was crazy. What? Yeah.
You took those courses in Spanish?
In Spanish.
Do you still speak Spanish?
I do. Yeah.
Un poquito o más?
Depende.
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 That's not a Spanish word, is it?
Yeah.
Depende?
Si. Yeah. Yes. What do you you think I just
said?
If I was
going to
make up a Spanish word, depende is not the word I was going to make up.
Depende just sounds like you're throwing E on anything.
Yeah.
That's the table.
Italian. Oh, yeah, the table.
Table, yeah. This is a table.
I drove a car, right?
I drive a car. Now you're Italian, eh? I did. I lived in Spain. I lived with a family who didn't speak any English, and the dad was a little creep. And
what way?
He just
taught her to summer camp.
He
wants some paintings of you guys up around the fucking front of the house.
He was asking if there's an essential photography I could send him. No, he was this guy, and it was very weird because Spain is relatively more traditional. But in this family, the mom worked. She worked in a bank, and she was attractive, and they had a little daughter, Matilda. And he didn't work, and I never really figured out what his story was. He would just go to the park and meet his friends and have like
and
beer.
Older?
Not really older. Like I
that
mean, they were
like
probably like 30.
Guys,
no. They were like 30, early 30s, And my friend and I were living there, and it was a small little apartment, and we were like 19-year-old. No, I was not by myself.
This doesn't sound like a semester abroad. This sounds like a semester, like...
Locked up abroad is what it sounds like.
I thought semester abroad, the school puts you in, like, a university. Why are you staying at some...
No, you live with a family, so you can host family. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, it's college. And this family, like, didn't speak in English, whatever, and, like...
Sound like your parents trying to save some money to get... For that sex room your dad has.
Well, listen, you got to get it where you can get it. So, and by that I mean sex.
Yes.
My dad. Sex with my dad.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like.
Yeah, cool. So, anyway, so there's this guy, and like he would be home in the middle of the day all the time. And then it was also this old apartment, and like if you tried to take a bath, you had to light the pilot light to get the heat on, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And then it would go out and you'd be soaking wet and you'd have to come out of the bathroom and like relight the pilot thing. And it was always like, he was always like creeping
he's out
around.
There blowing
up. So you got to come out.
Totally.
Seriously.
I don't know what's happening.
No, I know.
Depende.
And I will say, like, I'd see him, like, because I would have to walk really far to the university for the park, and then you'd have to walk back for lunch because they have their siesta, and then you have to walk to the park again, whatever. He was always in the park with his buddies, and it was
Were they all, like, 32?
No, they were all, like, a little older, yeah. But, like, yeah, I mean, not, like, 70-year-old Spanish men in the park.
Are they playing chess and shit?
Yeah, they're, like, playing cards and stuff. And in Spain, you see someone's dick every day. Like... People
what?
Are just
just like the United States of America. Yeah.
Well, people just jerking off everywhere. So
what do you mean? Like just out in the street all the time?
Yeah. So there's this park you had to walk through, and you'd just be walking and you'd hear like a rustling. You'd look over and there'd be like a guy in the bushes jacking off. And
but per, you know.
Hey, Pablo! Hola!
In the bush, though, hiding, you know, not just out on
yeah.
the bench.
Yeah.
You know, like a decent human being.
Yeah, like in the bush. But anyway, yeah, anyone
and that's
who's
just
lived
normal.
It was
over there?
Normal.
We have a big following in Spain, and right now they're like, no, this is.
By the way, this was quite a few years ago. Maybe people have other places
put
to put
away,
their dicks
maybe.
Now. But it used to be like, first of all, people would have sex outside all the time because everyone lived with their parents.
Yeah.
So like, there was nowhere to go to have sex. And then, by the way, this isn't just Spain. I feel like when I was traveling all through Europe, this guy in Portugal jerked off over our heads.
What?
We were on the beach. And my two girlfriends and I, and we'd walk down
the
beach.
A seagull? No.
And I'm sitting,
diarrhea.
Like, facing the ocean, and my one friend's facing me. And there's, like, this, I don't know, like, 15-foot, like, sort of cliff behind us. Like, we're, like, in this little cove, kind of. And all of a sudden, my one friend starts screaming and running to the ocean. So my friend and I jump up and start screaming and running to the ocean, but not really know why we're screaming. I don't...
That's funny that you thought, like, what are we screaming about?
I literally, in my head, I don't know
run.
Why.
You
I thought it was bugs.
The same way,
like,
right?
I don't know why. I was like, there's bugs. There's, like, lizards. I didn't
Were there
know.
Other people around you?
No. We'd walked, like, really far down this beach, whatever. And
was it a nude beach?
It was not a nude beach. It was a topless beach. So
Which
we
is
were
normal.
Topless.
It's a yeah. normal beach.
It was a normal yeah. beach there. And so we...
It was a masturbation beach. Is that true?
So,
masturbation.
MB Beach over here, guys.
And so I looked up and there was a guy standing on the top of the cliff with his pants down, jerking off over our heads.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So anyway.
And then what happens when you fucking run and yell and look up and notice me?
He
just
pulled
keeps
his
going.
Pants up He's and like, walked
that
away.
Got him
thanks for ruining it.
No, that was probably part of his, like, I mean,
Definitely.
I'm sure most of it, these guys who are seeing the bushes, part of it is seeing the, like, ah!
Right,
yeah.
the,
you
the,
know.
The reaction.
But the dad never, I never saw him jerking off in the bushes or anything. But one time, my friend that I was staying there with, she was gone, like, traveling somewhere, and I was staying there alone, and the mom and the daughter had gone away for
oh,
the weekend, and
God.
I was left there, and I, like, was in the room that we stayed in, and there was, like, he was there with some of his buddies, and, like, they kept knocking and, like, being like, do you want to come out and have a drink? And I was just like, no. And I literally, like, barricaded myself, like,
yeah,
in my room.
Yeah, I would have scared the
yeah.
shit out of me.
Did you
yeah.
did you pay for this semester
yeah.
abroad?
Yeah.
That's where he's making his money. He's like, I have these
by
girls.
The way,
they
yeah.
stay at my home.
Yeah. And by the way, he never, like, did anything past that, but he was just a little creepy.
Yeah, well, any dude who's lurking around all the time, especially when you're, you know, I mean, were you even 21?
No, I was 19.
Yeah. I mean, that's yeah. going to be weird.
Yeah. So it was like a 19 and 20-year-old, like, American girls, like, staying in your apartment. It's weird.
I mean, that's just...
not great.
No.
Yeah.
Is that the sketchy Spain story, or was there...
No. This was... I will... say I think I was a pretty smart kid and really was sort of street savvy. Grew up in L.A., knew how to take care of myself.
As soon as you walked in, you told us you went to Cornell. So I,
first of all, I didn't, because nobody would brag about that except you, evidently. If you went there, you said you would brag about it.
Yeah.
So anyway, no, but when I was living there, I went to go visit a friend of mine who was doing study abroad in Paris. And I was flying back, and my flight got delayed like 6 hours. And when I was in Paris, I was like, well, I'm going to land in Madrid, and I'm not going to have anywhere to stay. Like, and I was supposed to take the train from Madrid down to Seville. Like, I didn't have money and wasn't going to, like, had nowhere to stay. And they were like,
wait,
oh.
So you did abroad in Paris as well?
No, my friend was in Paris. Oh, okay, so I went to go visit her, and then I was coming back.
Yeah.
And so the airline was like, don't worry. Once you get there, we'll give everyone hotel vouchers because you'll be getting in at like 3 a.m. kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, great. So we land, and I was like, okay, I need to get like the voucher. And they were like, we don't have vouchers. And I was like, it's 3:00 a.m. I'm in the middle of Madrid. I have nowhere to stay. And they were like, sorry. And so I'm, you know, yelling at this person in Spanish and this whole thing. And there's this guy next to me.
Depende!
Oh my God,
Depende!
You just scared me so badly. I really, you're sad you missed it.
Were you sad that you're on the beach?
You are very sad you just missed. How high did I jump? You jumped like there was a guy jerking off over your head. By the way, I'm all like, there's like the creepy guy, and I'm telling another potentially creepy story. So now I'm just like on edge, and then you did that, and I literally just jumped like 100 feet out of my chair.
Your jump made me jump.
Right?
Actually, yeah, it wasn't it. No, it was your jump.
Thank you. Just if you're going to depende, just let it come. Depende. So anyway, this guy next to me is like, hey, if you need somewhere to stay, you can stay with me. And I was like, okay, thanks. Okay, it's like 3:00.
Like he worked there or something.
No, he was on my airplane, but I'd never seen him before. He was a guy just also trying to get a voucher. And I was like, okay, thank you so much. Like, didn't even think of it. Like, one of the stupidest things I've ever done in my life. And so he's like, okay, you know, I'm staying with my sister and brother-in-law's. And I was like, okay, great. That sounds legit. Get in the cab. All of a sudden, we're like in the cab, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh my God, what am I doing? Like, it just hit me. And I'm like, I'm alone. No one in the world knows where I am. Like, no one knew I was traveling. Mm-hmm. No one knew my flight was delayed. No one knew it was 3 a.m. No one knew who I went.
I'm sure a lot of people
knew it was 3. No one knew. People were being real weird about it. It was like,
it was a
not
baseball
really
game going
3:00 in the morning. Yeah.
They didn't even know.
People were having lunch. Like, it was really weird.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, I was just like, my parents don't know where I am. Like, nobody knows. I don't know who this person is. I'm now alone in a cab with a strange person. And I was like, do I jump out of the car?
The moving car.
And I look outside. We're in the middle of nowhere because there's just nothing between the airport and like into Madrid. And I was like, well, I can't jump out. I'll literally just be in the middle of wilderness if I jump out here. So I'm sitting there trying to get like any information out of this guy because I'm like, I'm going to run. And he was British. And he was like, I was like, oh, do they have kids? Because I was like, okay, if they have kids, I'll probably be safe. And he was like, yeah, they've got 2 kids, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay. And he's like, but unfortunately, my sister and the kids are gone. It's just my brother-in-law. And I was like,
but don't worry, he's cool.
Yeah. And this is where it all ends. And this is where I'm like, well, now.
So now clearly, you're entering into a place where you're outnumbered.
Yes.
By 2 men mm-hmm. who could possibly mm-hmm. overpower mm-hmm. you.
Yeah. So I'm just going, okay, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? We pull up in front of this like apartment building, and I'm like, do I run? Like,
does it look like a respectable apartment building? Is it shady?
No, it looked relatively respectable. He seemed very respectable, but of course I was like, well, Ted Bundy seemed fucking respectable too.
It's true.
Great guy. It's true.
And it was the kind of thing though where it was like the middle of the night. It was before you had cell phones. It was before you had GPS. You couldn't get a car. Like, there was no way for me to find like even where the train station would be or where an Uber, you know what I mean? There was no way to get anywhere. So I was kind of like, either I'm going to sleep on the street, or it was not great. So we get there and I'm like, fuck. Do I go inside this apartment? And so I'm like, well, I'll see what the deal is with this dude and the whatever. So
how far are you going to go with it?
Yeah, I it was so stupid. Like, literally, I'm shocked I'm here to this day. And I will tell my daughter this story and hope that she never does anything like this.
Do not get behind a locked door.
And, well, by the way, this was before I'd watched Oprah with You Never Let Them Take You to a Second Location. This guy was, it was like, you know, three locations.
They do say that.
What does that mean?
That means that if you let them take you, it's probably the end of your life. So fight for your life right there and try to do everything you can not to let them take you.
Yeah. So if you're getting like attacked or if you're getting like brought somewhere, don't be like, well, I'll act nice here and then I'll try to get out. I'll deal with it later.
I'll just go and see if I can get out there. No.
Literally fight for your life as if you're going to be killed right now.
Yep.
Never, because they were like, once you get to second location, percentages, you're like 90% dead. Like, you're not going to get out.
Definitely tortured, you know, all that shit.
Let's finish the rest of this podcast in the other office.
Anyway, so I show up at the guy, and the guy, this British guy that I'm with, like, has to shimmy up this palm tree.
What are you talking about?
Shady as fuck now. Okay. He's shimmying up.
He's breaking into the
apartment. Well, no, this is what it was. We rang up, and then his brother-in-law comes out on the balcony and is like, hey, you know, keep in mind, it's the middle of the night. And he's totally
Is he British?
Yeah.
No, he's Spanish. And so he's like, and then this guy's like, hey, I met this girl at the airport. Is it cool if she stays over? And I'm like, it's fine. You know, and he's like, yeah, it's fine. And he threw the key out the window. Now, the key was attached to a baby bib, which made me feel suddenly like right, everything was okay.
Right,
was
cool.
Right? I was like, okay, except some of
this bloody
story's
baby bib, but all right. Okay.
Yeah. And so it floats down. But then gets caught in a palm tree.
Okay. Got it.
So the guy's got to shimmy up into the palm tree to get the key on the baby bib. Meanwhile, I'm just like, what do I fucking do? Anyway, I go inside and they are like, we're going to have some drinks. And I was like, I'm good. Where can I go to, you know, just whatever. And there were kids' bedrooms and stuff there. And I will say they were like a little like, stay up, blah, 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 you know, but fine. And then they put me in one of their kids' rooms, and this kid's room was like creepy Sesame Streeted out. Like it was a Grover bed. And so I was like, I was traveling.
Does Grover look the same in Spain?
Yeah.
Okay, just wondered.
Yeah, yeah.
Just wondered.
No, Grover is a woman with very large boobs.
It's a Grover bed
like a race car bed?
Yeah, like a race car bed with a mattress in it. Like,
yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah,
like,
but it
is
was
his
Grover.
Head, the headboard,
yes,
and
the
shit.
The head is the thing. So I'm in this weird Grover bed, and I have a Swiss Army knife. That's the only protection I have. I've written two notes that I've put, one on my person and one in my luggage, saying this is what happened in case my body is found.
Oh, my God. That is hilarious.
I move furniture up in front of the door. And I'm just like, I'm
Do
just
they
not...
hear this shit? Like,
probably.
Big Bird dresser being split over there and fucking on
the... So I literally slept in my clothes holding my Swiss Army knife.
I'd be
I didn't
scared.
Sleep.
I was going to say, yeah, I'd be scared.
And I just was like, I'm just waiting for it to get light. And basically, at a certain point, there was like a knock, knock, knock. And he was like, can I come in? And I was like, just didn't answer. And he walked away. And I survived the night.
Which guy was that?
The British guy.
Okay.
And survived the night, and then woke up the next morning, and
had
he
an
was
amazing breakfast.
And by the way, the Spanish dude cooked me a lovely breakfast, and then the British guy was like, "Let me take you to the train station," and then he asked me out very nicely, and I said no, and he was like, "Okay, well, thank you, nice to meet, whatever," and nothing happened. But it was like
in
the
America.
Craziest fucking night.
That's a
and
scary
it could
fucking
have gone
night. Anyway.
Anyway.
It sounds like he was a respectable dude looking for a fun night. You didn't answer. He left it at that. Asked you out politely.
Yeah,
you
politely,
said no, and that was the end of it.
Yeah.
You know what's ironic?
You're fucking
is,
lucky.
Trust me. Do you know how many times I've thought about
you
that
got
night?
That guy.
Yeah.
You know what could have happened if you said yeah? You might have. That might have been the man of your dreams. Now you just settle for some dude from high school that you passed on 15 years ago. That might have been the guy who's like, if you
that
just,
Sesame Street shit could have been yours, girl.
That could have been mine. I could have had in-laws in Madrid.
You know what I mean?
Right?
Cousins,
my in-laws live
in
Encino.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Trash.
Yeah. So I made it out alive. I have a couple of those in my life where I look back and go, ooh. That was
another
a near
one.
Near, near murder, near rape. I wasn't. But like as a woman, I think even being like a savvy, like I was pretty suspicious and very much like, I'm not going to be the one you're going to probably find easy prey. But still, suddenly you're just in a situation that suddenly you just didn't think for 1 second, and all of a sudden you're in a very dicey situation.
Well, I also just, and I'm guilty of it myself too, and I want to make sure my daughter, especially as they get older, because who knows what they're going to be looking at, but everyone's face is down in their phone when they walk these streets. And all you got to do is come behind somebody, boop, done. You're done. They'll knock you down, grab your shit, and they're gone. You'll never even, and the thing that you could have fucking recorded them on is your goddamn face is in it. What other, you said a few situations. What's another situation just where like, you're like, what am I doing?
Just like met a dude on a beach once and then.
In Spain?
No, not in Portugal.
Tallahassee.
Not in Portugal. No, this was not. And like I was on a school trip.
A high school trip.
And all of us were on the beach and I started talking to this guy on the beach and my friends were like, we're heading back. And I was like, oh, I'm going to hang here for a little bit.
How old was this guy?
He was maybe like, I was 16. He was like 18, okay. I think, 19 maybe. And
You were giving him mortgage advice?
I was giving him mortgage advice. I was letting him know, like, this is how you handle it. If you get a call, I'll walk you through it. No, we were just talking. He was in like the Marines or something. I don't know. We were just talking on the beach. And then I was like, I'm going to head back to my hotel. And he's like, okay, I'll walk you there. And he was from there. And so he started walking me like a little bit of a different way than the way I was going. And he was like, oh, I want to show you something. And I was like, he was like, oh, there's this cool, like, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no thanks, whatever. And he sort of got me into this, like, deserted, like, outdoor shopping area that was, like, right off of where we were. And I was like, I really need to get back to the hotel or something. And he was like, hey, I want to take you out to dinner. And I was like, no, I got to, whatever. And
I mean, I'm all for ditching my friends at the beach with you, shady guy, but I draw the line at the deserted outdoor eating area.
Yeah. Well, it was just like, we're just talking, and then suddenly, and then he said something that I'll never forget. He was like, you know what? I like you. And he's like, I don't usually take no for an answer, but I'll walk you back here to your hotel.
Wow.
But I was ready to fucking run. Like, I knew that this was not a good, but it was just like within like 20 seconds, I suddenly, me being very careful going, I know exactly where I'm walking back to. I got my friend. I know I'm not whatever. Suddenly it was just like right off the beaten path by like 10 seconds. And suddenly it was like, holy fuck.
See, I mean, tell me if you're like this. I always push and let every situation go as far as it possibly can till it's either going to be backfired or be bad or be. I do feel because I mean, clearly you were didn't. Knew it wasn't a great situation, but then you let him walk you home.
Well, but it was like, I didn't have a choice. Because I was like, I'm walking back to my hotel, and he was like, I'm coming with you. Like, it was that, like, and then it's that thing. I was 16.
And then you don't want to let him know what hotel you're in.
And then you don't want to, exactly, and what hotel you're in, and all that. So I was like, trying to get out of it, but at a certain point, when you're 16, they just let us go to the beach. Like, it was like a, you know, chaperoned, whatever the chaperones
are. Or unchaperoned.
Unchaperoned. But like, you know.
I bet your husband's camp counselor would have never let that shit fly up in your vagina. He'd have been telling, remember that time y'all went up to that beach?
Remember that time you went up to that beach? Yeah, exactly. But it just goes to show you, like, but it's the kind of thing, you're 16, and I was very much like, I have a boyfriend. I'm going to go back to my friends now. Nice to meet you. But again, they haven't done anything. He'd been nothing but nice. You don't want to make like a weird scene about it. Mm-hmm. And you're still 16 and, you know what I mean, trying to navigate. And I was someone who was very clear, you know, and pretty like strong. But still, like, he was just like, oh, and then one slight half block off and suddenly, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I made it out.
I don't know what the problem was. I mean, there's like a water fountain there. It's a great little spot.
Like, I don't usually take no for an answer because I'm a drill instructor in the Marines, for Christ's sake. But I'll walk you back.
Yeah.
You're lucky. You were very lucky.
And then he kept showing up at the hotel. But at that point, I told the teachers and they.
Security.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I wonder how many times in our past, Ryan and I, we've like just been
terrified,
like really into a girl and just didn't know how to like express it outside of just like showing up and her being like, I think he's going to kill me. And we're just like, yeah,
my hormones just brought me here. That's not
probably a lot.
Probably.
Just after knowing you now of time, probably a lot.
But who knows, you know?
No.
We're going to get to see it. We both have daughters. We're going to get to see those hormones walk up and ring our fucking doorbell.
Yeah.
So it's coming, bro.
It's coming, guys.
I know.
How old is your daughter?
My daughter's 2. My son's 4.
So you got 3 years on her.
And mine's 3.
Oh, you got 2 years before they come knocking.
She's already hugging this boy. She's already hugging this boy at preschool. My daughter loves this one little boy at preschool. Hugs him up all the time.
My daughter
doesn't like any of the
other interested
ones,
in boys, and just she's nine. And there's a lot of girls in her class who are already boy crazy. My daughter just couldn't care less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you boy crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I had an older brother. I think that's the difference, is she's sibling with. I had an older brother, and his friends were always around, and I had four brothers. I don't know. I just.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely was more boy crazy. She's. Yeah. Couldn't care less.
Yeah. Well, you never know.
And then I'm like, is she girl crazy? Don't think so either. I'm just trying to see.
She might identify as asexual.
I hope not.
Well, I mean, for now.
I hope now she's identifying as asexual.
Mom, I'm going to tell you this.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope. Yeah. We're starting all those conversations. It's pretty crazy.
Oh, my God. That's yeah. right. Birds.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All
fifth
that.
Grade. That's what it was. That was
well,
what
now
it was
it's
for
younger.
My stepson, too. Is he's like, yeah, they separated us today. I was like, yeah, I
that's
remember
when
that
they
talk.
Do it
they
in fifth grade.
Boys
but
girls.
You got to talk about it.
Yes.
A couple
way
years way before that. Yeah. Yeah. Because everyone starts talking about it, and they start getting some weird-ass information.
I also, who was it just told me? It was a friend of mine was telling me. We were talking about, you know, just you growing up, and she's like, she got her period at 10, she said.
Yeah, I did too.
At 10?
Actually, technically, I was 11. I was 4 days into being 11.
I didn't think I'd have to start talking to my daughter about it that early.
No.
But is that, I don't want to say abnormal, but is that common that young?
You should ask her husband's camp instructor.
I remember a lot of girls from middle school.
I was very young. I was on the very young side.
Is that still elementary school, 10? Or is that like 6th
yeah,
grade?
Yeah. And well, I was young for my grade because I'd skipped. So I was like
you
one of
the... You skipped a grade?
I did. So I was one of the youngest.
Cornell,
smart, man! Smart ass.
Hold on. What'd you get in your SATs?
I don't
know. I know
yes,
you know
you
the
do
number.
Know. You
I
do know. 1432.
You break... Were you over 14?
I was over 14. Anyway... Not
over
50. I'm blushing.
You are blushing.
I am. I don't
were you
blush
over 50?
No, I don't think so. I don't. 1490. 1479. Anyway, what was I talking about? Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I got my period very young, and it was on the young side, but now it's more common for girls to get them younger. That's
that
what they
age,
say.
Huh?
Yeah. But, I mean, stuff starts happening way before then that I knew nothing about and I wish my mom had told me about.
Like what?
Just like there's all this stuff about breast buds, which I didn't really know what they were.
I don't know what that is.
So basically, you got to get this book for your daughters when they get a little bit older. The Keeping and Caring of You, I think it's what it's called. And there's a younger version and an older version. Do the younger version first. It's a real rough.
Sounds like you should do the younger version
it's a
first.
Rough. It's a moments. Where I sat down with my daughter and reread it together. So basically there's like these breast buds that happen before you get boobs, which I didn't know happened, and they can be kind of painful and stuff.
Okay.
And it's like precursor to that. And then also just like when you start getting pubic hair. Like my mom didn't talk to me about pubic hair. And my daughter and I just had a whole thing. And I won't say what spurred it, but maybe, maybe not. She's beginning that world.
Yeah.
And which is young. She's on the very young side. But I also went through puberty young, so she might the same thing. So she was like, I don't want to get pubic hair. And I was like, well, everyone gets pubic hair and mommy has pubic hair. And she's like, well, I don't like mommy's pubic hair. Which I was like, okay, well,
what fuck's wrong with mommy's pubic hair?
First of all, it's very aspirational. You have no idea how
you know
you
want to
see pubic hair? I can show you photos.
Let me give you some
shit
from
magazines.
The 70s right here.
Trust me, this is as good as it gets.
Go look in Papa's Club. You'll see the best pubic hair you've ever seen.
Exactly. So I'm like, meh, you better get on board with it because you
it's
better
coming.
Hope it's going to look this good.
Oh,
so then she was like, well, do boys get pubic hair? And I said, yeah, everyone gets it. And she's like, where? And I, you know, told her where. And then she was like, well, daddy doesn't have pubic hair. And I was like, yeah, he does. She was like, no, he doesn't. And I was like, yeah, he does. And first of all, he walks around it. Like, it's not like she doesn't see him, whatever. And she was like, no, he doesn't. And I was like, well, I'm not going to fight with you about this. But daddy has pubic hair.
Dad! Come here, dad.
So I was like, honey, like later, I was like, honey, don't be alarmed if suddenly she's like really clocking it as you're if you're walking around. But she just did not want to accept that daddy had pubic hair. I don't know what the disconnect was, why my mine is so offensive and his is non-existent. But anyway, so these are the conversations that are starting. in our home.
Yeah.
Get ready.
Well, it's good that you're having them because I think, yeah. tons of people
you have
never
to.
Have
oh
that
my
sex
God.
Talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the
never.
Growth talk or what.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely
It's not fun.
I definitely didn't have
I
one.
I did not have one.
Nope.
Nope. Me neither.
I got it from
my dad
friends.
Asked. My dad
Well, that's
asked
the worst. That's the last people you
want
to get
it from. Yeah, the last people. My dad asked us about if we were masturbating, if we knew what it was. Of course, we just said no, and he laughed because he knew we were.
How old were you, though?
I discovered masturbation in the summer between fifth and sixth grade, but just completely by accident.
Time
I was
off.
Just I was just laying in bed, you know, yeah. flipping it around, and then all of a sudden something happened, and I was like, what the fuck
I can do
was
this?
That?
Yeah. But how old were you when he asked you?
Probably seventh, eighth grade.
See, that's the problem.
There.
Asking too old.
Yeah.
You gotta explain it literally like third, fourth grade. Because I'll tell you right.
Masturbation third, fourth
grade? I'll tell you what the crazy stuff is because of the internet, there
Fair
are friends
enough.
Of mine who have kids
Fair
who
enough.
Are in like fourth and fifth grade
and older
who know
siblings.
And older siblings sure. who know crazy shit.
Yeah.
Girls, boys, all of it.
And you can't put blockers up on that stuff?
You can put a blocker on yours, but can you block every single kid who's
no,
at the sleepover?
Right.
That's
yeah.
the
exactly.
problem.
The it's older like, brother that comes over and is like, look at this video on
oh,
my fucking
by the way,
iPhone, you know?
It's the older sister. It's the one kid whose parents don't put the checks on their phone or they put half the checks. Is if one kid.
That's it.
You're done.
Yeah.
And the stuff they see is not like, oh, a Playboy
no,
or like a whatever.
Gagging.
It's crazy.
That's what I'm worried
shit.
About. Because for our generation,
yes.
I mean, I'm older than you. Our generation was the, you know, innocent
scrambled
petting,
boobs.
Kissing.
Yeah.
If you went up a mm-hmm. girl's shirt over the bra, it was a big deal. And then
yeah.
eventually you went
Made
down,
your way down
and then you went and then other things and all. But now you can put the internet on and see someone with like your doctor fist all the way up somebody and be like, that's what I'm
we
supposed
did
to do.
Shoot
like,
that.
No.
We did shoot that. Yeah, it is available. It's expensive, but I have a service.
It's premium content.
It's premium content, but yeah. No, but it's true. I mean, like crazy
like,
shit.
Whoa.
This is my theory. So this is a theory that I've come out with, which actually I do talk
You've
about
come
a little
out
about
with?
My show. Yeah, I've come out with this theory. Well, it's going to be coming out soon. Is I would like to plant appropriate level porn around the house. It still needs
to
appear.
What your father's trying to do in his parlor. Right?
That is sensual photography.
It is a parlor, dude.
His club. His sensual photography. How dare you? But no, like literally plant. But it still has to appear to be something they find by themselves because you
I
need
see.
To have that like,
sure.
ooh, I'm not supposed to see this. Somehow get their first couple, at least that first one, mm-hmm. that's going to like imprint their sexual like –
Yes.
feelings because they do say like the first couple things you see sets the tone of things that like arouse you for the rest of your life.
Boy,
so if you can like just get some very casual non-degrading just innocent 80s porn
mm-hmm. right
just around the house
well, what about
that they somehow find
for us it was just a Playboy magazine
yes.
you just saw boobs and some sexy underwear
yeah.
maybe a little
I
the
feel
pubic
like
hair
some
your
pubic
daughter's
hair.
Not a fan
yeah
of
yeah
was in there.
Again
yeah.
anyone else
hustler.
Would be a fan
a really
a
Playboy. Take
What?
I think this is a really smart
By the way,
take.
I really am like not really joking. And then from then on, they're going to see all the crazy shit they're going to see, but they'll see it in comparison to at least what's normal. And then they'll be like, okay, that at least seems crazy compared to what I've established as right. So I'm like, what are some like books that like had like dirty scenes in them that I can just be like, you should read this book. And like, yeah. oh, I forgot that scene was in there.
I mean, I'm going to just say to my son, here, watch this movie. It's called The Hunt for Pink October.
There you go. Done. You know what? Great. I'm going to do that with my daughter.
Wow.
So anyway, that's my theory. That's my plan.
I think it's a solid plan, to be honest with you. It's better than
I don't
finding
want her
it
to
in the woods. And
I don't
all
want
that
her
shit.
To see like
no.
a girl being like
gagged out.
Gagged and like. Shit on and then like you know what I mean like
yeah
not even just the dirty stuff but like the degrading
right,
stuff
right
just laying on the
stuff.
Beach in El Salvador being like oh hold on let this guy finish
guys,
and then
it was
it off
in Portugal
my head.
How dare you
it all depende on how you see
yeah.
it
depende
well we're there at the end here this has
guys.
Been quite a fun episode thank you very much for coming on,
Thanks
sharing all these stories.
Me.
Will you please, again, your social media, the show, everything, all of
yes,
it, please.
Yes, I think all my social media, if you look for Andrea Savage, I think it's the real Andrea Savage, but I have the check mark, the verified stuff. And then I'm Sorry, which is on True TV. And you can watch it on demand. The second season's coming out in the fall. If you want to see other stuff, also, I play the president of the United States, Laura Montez, on Veep. And
also, is Dog Bites Man available anywhere?
I think you can buy it on iTunes.
Fucking great. Yeah, yeah. Also see that.
Yeah, it's an old show with Matt
Walsh.
That's
where I fell in love with you.
Aww.
Was Galifianakis on?
Yeah, it's Galifianakis, Matt Walsh, 80 Miles, and myself. Yeah.
So good.
And it's a crazy before its time show.
Really
and,
was.
And episodes on Showtime and...
The House?
The House, yeah. I kick Lennon Parham's ass in The House, and I don't know. You can find
it. Tons of stuff. Tons of stuff.
Thank you.
Thanks
so much,
guys,
for coming on.
So
this was
fun.
Great. As always, jlarsoncomedy.com, jlarsoncomedy on all social media.
RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all social media. We'll talk to you all next Tuesday.